TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL.
Stories of that game and what happened in the clubhouse is just fantastic. There's no game that can bleep you like this one.
It's Royce on Baseball.
Let's go here. You know, the worst thing that's going on in baseball right now by not having any fans in the stands?
What's that, sir?
All those years that fans in secondary markets, and I'd have to call this one of those, that went to the game to yell, Yankees suck, have just been sounding like idiots, right?
Right.
Because the Yankees are, now the Yankees suck, and they can't go there and yell, Yankees suck.
Yeah, we can't ridicule them.
We can't yell, Yankees suck.
What's going on with them?
I don't know, but yesterday, Ottavino and Chad Green, two of their good arms, gave up 10 runs in one inning to the Blue Jays, who are dominating in Buffalo, the hometown. I hope Buffalo is going to be one of the pods when we go to the playoffs.
Oh, we have to have a pod there, absolutely.
Yeah, except the weather might not be nice. I think in October our pods are going to be looking for a little better weather.
Probably in Texas and California.
But the Blue Jays are now two games ahead of the Yankees for second in the East. Baltimore's right behind them, and they have the eighth spot right now.
Wow.
We have the seventh because the beast, the AL Central, a beast, they're third in the AL Central. So you're, you know, the top two in each division are automatic, and then there's two wild cards through theoretically. So but yeah, they're terrible. I mean, they're like 5-17 or something. I mean, they're just been a complete collapse.
And
it's incredible.
Boston gave up in February.
Oh, they're terrible.
So you'd think that they'd get at least a couple of series gimmies
the
playing
other
the Red
day,
Sox.
Yeah, and they have beaten the Red Sox more games in a row than they have ever or something. But or they had a long streak against them. But the Red Sox, I noticed this the other day, this was probably a week ago, in 2018, which isn't that long ago.
No.
They were 108-54.
Wow.
They were 667 in the regular season, and then they were 11-1 in the postseason, right?
Yes.
Something like 11-1, 11-2. But in the regular season, they were 667. And a week ago, and I think it's still the same, they're 333.
Wait, so they only lost one postseason game that year that they played
maybe
the Dodgers?
Maybe two.
Okay.
They lose one of the Dodgers
Because I know they won it there.
I think they're 11-2.
Okay.
But, I mean, they killed everybody. So 2 years ago, they were 667. This year, they're 333.
Wow.
Why do they give up?
It was money, wasn't it?
Well, they didn't want to pay Mookie, and then once they didn't pay Mookie, I guess they just, I don't know. I think John Henry worries more about Liverpool. You know, they own Liverpool,
right?
And Liverpool's having a great year. I think they worry more about their soccer team.
You know what, though? I think part of it, too, is I think Tampa's really good. I think Tampa's got a good club.
Tampa's got like seven pitchers on the DL, and they keep, by the way, it's still the DL to me. I love putting DL on Twitter because somebody uses always, it's the IL.
You're so insensitive.
No, it ain't. It's the DLU.
So did we get rid of that because we were worried about sensitive?
Yes,
were we very sensitive?
It was because I think some disabled group thought it was, you know, I don't know what I don't know what it did,
right.
But it offended somebody. Because I don't believe you're supposed to call people disabled anymore.
That's right.
There's some other term for it. I don't know what it is.
Speaking of the Dodgers, by the way, have you seen their run differential?
Oh, yeah. They're
good. Almost at, I think it's 98 or something like that.
Yeah, in a 60-game season, they're going to. I mean, if you're 98 in a full season, you're winning 90 games,
and
right?
The narrative has always been these last couple of years, are the Dodgers finally going to get one? And, of course, watch them win it in a year. No one's allowed to go to the games, you know?
Yeah, well, they would have had. I would think, although with the wildfires out there, maybe not, but I would think the Dodger Stadium will be one of their pods.
Oh, for sure.
And I don't know. People keep writing. Why is baseball not announcing this, that they're going to play in pods?
Are you convinced they're going to?
Well, so everybody's ESPN, everybody else is reporting that it's going to you know, that they're going to play in pods, but nobody's done it. It will be, they might be trying to find out if Milwaukee's going to make the play. I suppose they would like the local team to be in it, even if there aren't fans, right?
Sure.
But maybe not.
Sure.
But if you're going to have one in the Midwest, it'll have to be Milwaukee.
It would
because
have to,
of,
yeah.
Because of weather, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other places are, I don't think they want to go to Florida, do they?
Well, wouldn't they have
not
it?
Not only because of the pandemic in Florida, but the hurricanes are coming in left and right.
Yeah.
You know, there's two more waiting to come in.
Well, wouldn't an ideal spot be Texas's new ballpark?
Yeah, they got a roof. And I bet it would be, except I don't think the Rangers are going to make it, but
no.
That's okay. What it's not that big a deal. By
or
the way,
Houston.
Houston's lost five in a row.
Hell yeah.
Texas will get one of them, I suppose, and Arizona might too.
Sure.
Even though it's, you know, it'll be. But did you see, it's been a little toasty in California.
I saw.
Did you see that in the suburbs, there was a reading in L.A. of 121?
Not only did I see that, Patrick, but I texted your Monday Night Sports mm-hmm. Talk co-host, and I said, that global warming's going to kill us all.
That is. Well, we will cover the gender reveal scandal on Monday night, on the Tuesday version of Monday Night Sports Talk, although I think that is a record for acreage, isn't it?
I believe
so. Beat the acreage for the previous wildfire in Arizona by, I think we're up to 7,000 acres on this one.
The beauty of that.
And they said, I saw a headline say, family that started fire will owe millions. What are you going to do? What if they got like
$6?
About every other moron who does a gender reveal. Yeah, they got $312 and they set off a bomb, you know? But we're going to send you a bill for millions.
No, you know what you do? Well, maybe we'll get into it later.
Yeah, we'll get into
okay.
it.
Okay, all right. So,
anyway, we'll have a lot of gender reveal talk because I saw, you know, as somebody on Twitter after I tweeted it out said, I really love it when they go bad, but not this bad, you know.
Right.
Not that you're destroying, you know, California is already burning.
Yes.
And you add this, and then, of course, the woman who got killed. You know,
yeah, we knocked off grandma.
Yeah,
Iowa.
That's a 52-year-old
right.
grandma. Not some doddering old 90-year-old grandma who had 20 minutes to live anyway. This
right.
this woman's whole life was in front of her. She did make it through.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
We got a doubleheader today in St. Louis.
Yes, St. Louis, and two starting pitchers.
How about that?
Jose and Randy.
Now, you were explaining, because I see they have a couple of days off, so
yes.
the Cardinals
so
wanted to play
the
a doubleheader.
So the Twins were off on Thursday.
Yes, sir.
They were scheduled to be in St. Louis Tuesday and Wednesday. The Cardinals were not off on Thursday.
Okay.
The Cardinals had other duties, and then the Cardinals missed what? Damn near 2 weeks, right?
Pretty much.
And so the Cardinals are in this long stretch playing all these seven-inning doubleheaders and not having any days off. And I think baseball came up with the idea, and the Cardinals did too. Okay, let's get the Twins down here for this one, you know, on Tuesday, and they can play seven innings twice, and
sure.
then the Cardinals can have a day off on Wednesday.
Okay.
So That's where that came from. And you can do things with the schedule now. For instance, I'm sure this was originally a night game, right?
Sure.
And now they're playing it at
2
o'clock,
and 5 or something
2 o'clock
like that,
today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whenever they get done. And maybe even earlier if we can get her done in 1:45 like that one the other day.
Yeah.
I was very upset. I was at that one. I wanted my money back. 1:45, for God's sakes. I said, I want my money back. Some guy said, how much did you spend to get in the game? I said, 8 mile round trip. Gas isn't free.
Right.
You know, I had to drive down and forth.
Now you're reminding me. Do you have a Lou Brock story? Did you ever have the
chance?
Oh
yeah.
Okay.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't deal with him, but I have a great Lou Brock story. Lou Brock played his only minor league season, Class C Northern League, for the St. Cloud Rocks.
Really?
1961. Played for the Rocks. He was 22. He'd played 4 years at Southern University in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
You know, all-black college. Not all black, but what do they call them now?
Sure.
You know, historical black college or something. And I'm sure back then it was probably all-black, 1960s. And then he, I don't know what he did for a year, and he got signed sometime in 60 by the Cubs.
Okay.
And the Cubs then sent him to St. Cloud. They were the Rocks. I don't think they called themselves the Cubs. They were the, this Northern League was a full summer league. But
sure.
Back then you had Triple A to Class D. You had AAA, AAA, AA, B, C, D.
Okay.
They were a C league. D league was like, you know, that was the bottom.
Okay.
And the C league, the Northern League, went on for probably 25 years as the as a full season league. And you used to pick up the Minneapolis Tribune in the morning. They had Northern League standings and results, you know, and not.
Sure.
And there was 8 teams. Winnipeg, Aberdeen, Sioux Falls. I'm not sure where they are, but St. Cloud was in there. Duluth was in there. Duluth was in there for all forever at beautiful Wade Stadium.
Sure.
But the Rocks, Lou Brock shows up. He's 22 then, which is probably a little old for that league. Hits 361, won the batting title, 14 homers. 82 RBIs, 38 stolen bases. Didn't lead the league in stolen bases. They didn't. They must not have had a manager who liked him. But here's the story. Mike Augustine, the late great Augustine, I think he had dropped out of college one of the times he did that for financial reason, and he was Joe Long's assistant sports writer at the St. Cloud Times.
Okay.
And Augie was covered. If Joe didn't cover the Rocks game and be the official scorer, then Augie covered the Rocks game. And Lou had a long hitting streak, and try as I might, looking through the, I think it was like a record Northern League hitting streak.
Okay.
29, 30 games, something like that. And, but I couldn't find it. The internet's got a lot of stuff on it, as Sid said, the internet's, but I couldn't find it, and I was hope, you know. And most of those St. Cloud guys I knew are no longer with us, you know, that would have known around the team then.
Yeah.
So for whatever it is, 30 games, Lou hits a ball in the first inning, second at bat, goes by the shortstop. Augie calls it an error. Streak ends.
Oh, no.
Everybody in town screaming at another, screaming up at Augie in the press box.
Yeah.
It stood in a little tiny place that stood on top of the grandstand.
Yep.
Everybody's mad at Augie, and the team afterwards are all screaming at Augie. The only guy who didn't yell at Augie was Lou Brock.
Really?
Yeah. Lou said, "I thought it was a hit, but you made your call," and Augie was the kind of guy who, you know, you're not going to watch replay.
No,
you know,
right.
And Augie was the kind of guy that I saw an error, you know, I couldn't go back and change it just because of popular opinion. But that haunted Augie through many beery nights when Augie's 25, 30 go-tos, when, you know, everybody's got their go-to stories, right?
Oh, yeah.
I got maybe 100. Augie might add 300, but... The top 25, 30, that was one of them when Lou Brock didn't give Lou Brock. And I think Lou Brock was like DiMaggio when he got stopped, then he came back and hit another 50 something like that. So I'd love to be able to find out. But the Rocks then came back after the Northern League folded as a full season league, came back as a short season league. With a rookie type young player, Charlie Walters, Chucker.
Oh, yeah.
Walters pitched for the Rocks. And when they were up there, I covered the Rocks. Augie and I covered the Rocks. I covered some of them. He covered most of them. But Albie Peckskamp was the beer salesman. And Albie was, we would say, would 1-1-4 report to the press box, which meant we wanted 4 beers, you know. up there in the press box. And Albie, of course, to keep the secret, to say, how many? He'd yell up there. But one night, I wasn't there one night, but one night there were quite a few guys up there, and they were getting full of beer. And Augie said, would 1-1 Case report to the press? But, yeah, it was a casual, because it was an afternoon paper, right?
Sure.
So you would cover the game, but you would write in the morning.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
You would go write it in the morning, early in the morning.
One case.
With 1-1 Case. But, God, I got to find out what the hitting streak was.
Okay.
But I don't know how I'm going to.
So what you're saying is Lou Brock had a very different response than the Twins pitcher who reported to the scoring saying that I only had 9 earned runs.
Vic Alberry. The late fast Victor Alberry, who died about a year later. Key West. He grew up in Key West.
All right.
Yes, the Twins were in...
Was it Kansas City?
In Kansas City for the opening series, and they won 6-4, I believe. And this is, I think, 75, maybe 6. I was a beat guy. And they won 6-4 on the first night, the 10th inning. Sergio Ferrer was their shortstop. And he scored from second base when Amos Otis fell down to his knees catching a fly ball out near the center. So he went 2 bases on a sacrifice fly to make it 5-4, and then they got another run. They won 6-4. The next day, Bill Hands made what I think was his first start for the Twins, and they got beat 23-6 or something like that. I used to drink with him, and he was a merciless killing. I mean, I think it was 22-3. So we didn't come back to August, right?
Yep.
And that was Brett and Otis and Willie Wilson, and they on that turf, they'd hit them in the gaps, and it was like watching a merry-go-round, man, because they all could run. And, you know, Brett had hit 65 doubles a year, and Amos, I mean, everybody could run. Brett couldn't run, but Brett was a great hitter. And they'd just keep them going. And that was really a fast turf, and it was a deep stadium. You know, the power alleys were deep, and so they come back and get beat 18-4 the first time out. So 16 half innings, they gave up 41 runs, you know, the first time. But Vic gave up 10 in August and called the press box to complain to the scorer, Sid Boardman, I believe, or Del Black, one of the two. They were the two ball writers. We called them Sid Boredom and Dull Black, but they were nice guys. They were good guys. But they called up to complain that only 9 of them should have been earned.
Did he have a point?
I don't know. It was just Victor.
Only 9 should have been earned.
I was the guy at the end of the road trip who had to borrow him $10 to go see Deep Throat. Was right down the hill. We stayed downtown then. What was the name of the old Mulebach, I think, was the old hotel downtown. And the porn theater was like a block down the street downtown. And Vic needed $10 to go see. Yeah, I mean, just think of how much they were charging. Talk about a ripoff.
No doubt.
The porn industry in 1976 charging $10 for a movie.
They needed the internet back then.
They did a lot of stuff on that internet. They needed competition.
Yeah, they did.
Because they had an audience.
There
was no place else to go. I don't even know if Spectrovision existed yet then. So. Anyway. Anyway, that's my Lou Brock story.
There we go.
Augie,
that's a great one.
Augie ending his hitting streak. But I was around him, you know, a couple of times when he was being honored and stuff. Really a gentle fella.
Yeah.
A quiet guy. And you look at his numbers for about a 10-year stretch. Wow.
Why did the Cubs ever give up on him, by the way? I never knew the story.
There's some idea that it was racism, but I don't buy it, that they didn't want to have that many black guys because they had Ernie and Billy Bill Williams. And
really?
But I don't buy
it. You don't
that.
Buy it?
I've
okay.
read that, but I don't buy that.
Because was he—
I think they thought they needed— they thought they were getting better, and they thought they needed pitching, and they thought they had extra outfielders. Because you look at it with the Cubs, he was— it looks like he maybe sometimes didn't play against lefties or something, because like his first year he was a regular center fielder, but he only played 123 games or something. And this Ernie Broglio was supposed to be a pretty good pitcher, but it lives in Cubs infamy.
Oh, for sure.
Broglio, Brock for Broglio is the battle cry. And in fact, worst trade in the history of Chicago baseball until
James Shields
is acquired for Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yes.
In 2017. So
it's one thing
16.
To trade a Hall of Fame player, but to do it to your biggest rival,
yes,
you know,
yeah,
the Cardinals.
That is unbelievable. That's what's amazing about it. That's what, you know, old-time Cubs fans are now dead probably, but that's what really irritated those people. Not only did they trade him, they traded him to the Cardinals, and he shoved it in their face for 18 years.
I mean, it's not on par with Babe Ruth, but
it's close. Yeah. It's close. He was, unbelievable player. And, but a St. Cloud Rock. He had four other games in the minors. He played in St. Cloud, 128 games or something. And then he had four other games. It must have been a rehab. It looks like it was a rookie league team that he got sent down to 1 year. He must have been hurt. Because that's, in his 21-year career or whatever it was, he only had a...
Sure.
Now, meanwhile, the other guy, Tom Seaver, who died right before him, another great Hall of Famer, I did have the opportunity to interview him.
How'd that go, Pat?
He's in a group. It's usually three, four guys. But if he's... I think he was probably okay with the home guys that he knew.
Sure.
But easily the most condescending human being I've ever been around in my life.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was unbelievable.
It
was unbelievable. You couldn't ask him a good question if he handed it to you and said, please ask me this question. He'd still abuse you. He was a condescending jerk, that's for sure.
Well,
people say that he mellowed out a little later in life. I don't know, but he was bad. I think he thought that he was New York, and he was in on all the tabloids, and he was the hero. And then he had somebody in town didn't like him. Was it Dick Young? Somebody wrote nasty stuff about him, and he was used to that whole thing. And I think he just thought he was out here with a bunch of guys with cow dung on their shoes out here in the Midwest, and he just didn't—he missed New York, I think.
Because didn't he do TV after them? He ended up working in media, didn't he? Or am I thinking of somebody else, Seaver? Because I know, I thought I recall him doing some World Series games or something. I should look it up. Because it's always funny when the guys that treat the media like that end up working in the media after their career, whether coaching or playing, is over with. Because the same guy was the hockey coach, Tortorella, who would abuse the media.
Yeah.
And then, funny, when he's out of a job, he goes and works for ESPN or whatever.
Oh, he was... I love him, though, just because of that 24/7 that HBO had on before that New Year's. Him and Lavalette might have been the two most foul-mouthed, miserable human beings I've ever heard of in my life. But it was...
And you have a deep appreciation for a guy that can use profanity with such
F-bomb.
Art. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Mike Augustine.
Yes.
That ballpark in Springfield.
Ooh.
Wowzers, did they do a great job down there with that ballpark. What a great tournament. We were all skeptical that we were even going to play Tom Ball back in May.
Yes, yes.
And for them to not only...
In June. You had to become Renegades to play.
Well, our first game was
June. You guys had to wait for the governor, right? A lot of places.
Right. Almost everybody in the DRS couldn't use their facility. So we ended up scrimmaging Union Hill over in La Center. That was our first game. And I want to say that was around June 20th. So we started really late this year.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, did they pull off a great tournament, both Milroy and Springfield.
Well,
and
they give them. I talked to Freddie yesterday afternoon during a game. I wrote something last night that they posted today. And you got to give the board credit for all the problems they had, man. They had that political infighting.
Yep.
Richter and Hartman left. They had the people wanting them to start playing now, and the other people saying we got to follow. And Fred was considered kind of a compromiser when he got elected.
Mm-hmm.
he's a lawyer, and But they got their act together and found a good location, second location in Milroy and Springfield, hung with them all the time. And moving B to Shakopee was a great idea.
Yeah.
And that's a fantastic ballpark. And their attendance, their tickets sold were over 14,000, which is almost normal.
Yeah.
Now, one way they did that was
you had to buy it for each game.
You had to buy it for each game, which was new. I don't know. What's it cost?
$7.
Seven bucks was
admission.
And obviously, concession business wasn't like it had because you can only have 250 people there for the biggest game. But it was they pulled it off. And I've seen that Milroy Park. I guess you got to Milroy too, right?
I went to both parks on the first weekend. Mm-hmm. No, excuse me, the second weekend. I took in both ballparks because I wanted to watch my Carver Sox. They were playing in Milroy, and I watched the St. Patrick Irish beat Rochester in Springfield. So I did both of those in the same day on the second weekend.
Now, did you see my map for the new 494, 694 corridor that we have?
Not only, Patrick, did I see that picture. That was heavily discussed at the Class B game.
Yeah, Shanahan having won three in a row. But I asked Freddie yesterday, he said, listen, he said, they won like three of their games by one run. He said it's not like they're beating everybody 14-2 or something like that. He said they know how to win.
In fact, that's perfectly stated. Yep.
I don't think we're gonna have the new map with that long line going out there to the southwest
to the end of Carver County.
just goes right to the little dot where the Carver Chad Hansen ballpark is at the high school and then comes back, but kind of like the stem on an apple.
Yes.
But not now, not after three in a row.
Well, and
if it gets to five, we might have to.
What's funny, too, is their game, the championship game, they're playing Moorhead. Moorhead was in control pretty much that whole game. And they hit Arnold hit a two-run homer in the bottom of the eighth.
Yeah.
And that's how they ended up winning.
He's the manager, right?
Yeah, he's the manager.
It's nice to have a manager who hits home runs out there instead of the one they used to have.
Because his dad ran the club the last couple of years, and his dad just retired. You know, he wanted to do some other things, and so Brandon just kind of took it over for him. And, he's a good player, really good player. Speaking of St. Cloud, he's a St. Cloud.
Is Meesville your third ballpark in 23?
Yes.
And I heard they're going to have B.
That's the hot rumor.
That's the hot rumor. Yep. I think it was the NBA president sort of indicated to me that B might be at Meesville and you guys would share C, Faribault and Dundas.
Yep.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's all of it, Dina. But I believe that once he said that 2023 will be 100 years and 100 tournaments, not 100 years, and that. Then after that, they might consider the B thing. But they want these. I think they want enthusiastic bidding for the 2023.
Well,
and they got Cold Spring, Watkins, and St. Cloud is one. And
I told Krieger on Saturday. I said, why don't you have it almost regionally, where you can have one portion and you can space these out over the course of the three different weekends, but that would be fun. Have a pocket of games in the Stearns County, St. Cloud area. You know, I just thought, you know, why not try something different?
Well, they want to, but the state board finances itself with the with the state tournament, and so does. And I mean, let's face it, awarding that tournament has done wonders for ballparks in the state of Minnesota.
We're an example.
It's Faribault, New Prague, Watkins, for goodness sakes,
Springfield. Look at
New Ulm, $2.5 million, and now they don't have a tournament. But that's City Council should have told them in June. Nobody would have been mad.
I'm sure you were tagged in these as well, but there was a guy. Who I'll interact with once in a while on Twitter, and basically said, I drove, 2,000 whatever miles over the course of three weekends. I never spent $1 in New Ulm. He was very upset with the New Ulm City Council.
Well, that's, they panicked, when they pulled the plug in the middle of July, everybody was really, you know, with the increase coming back again, people yeah. were in a panic. And the original vote was only 3-2, so it.
Right.
I do like a city council, though, that makes their decision without any public input.
So
nobody had a chance to go to the council meeting and express an opinion.
Absolutely not. So anyway, I have to get a little bit of abuse. I talked to you on the phone yesterday after my guy, Joey Grody, my shortstop for the Lakers, had not one but two wins on Saturday.
After not being not good enough to pitch for the lowly Lakers.
I loved your line as, no wonder Chan hasn't fired your ass.
So did Joey have to take part in the slaughter yesterday then? Did he the 12-run?
I talked to him when I first got, because I didn't get there till halfway through the second inning. Mm-hmm. And I looked at him, he had because it was pouring.
Yeah.
And he had the hooded.
It was raining that hard.
It was raining pretty good all the whole game, because they had moved it up. It was supposed to be a 1 o'clock game. They moved it to 11 to avoid the rain. And, of course, the rain stopped at about 1:30. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, they're trying to do what's right. And so anyway, I talked to Joe. And I said, how you feeling? He said, I can't lift my arm. So he said the adrenaline, if it had been a close game, he would have given it a go. But mm-hmm. boy, can those Fairmont boys hit.
I Ooh. Do like the, Freddie Ruff told me this, a stop on the road. St. Patrick has a ballpark, a Catholic church, and is there a little store there, too?
There's a bar.
Bar. Okay. Well, that's all you need.
That's all you need.
But the Catholic church owns the ballpark.
Okay.
So when St. Patrick wanted permission to resume playing,
yep.
the entity they had to go to get permission was the board of the Catholic church.
Sure.
Which is also the board of the city council and the baseball board for St. Patrick. So they were able to get permission.
I always love.
Now they don't have a grandstand. You sit on a hill.
They've got a little grandstand. I'm sorry, no. But they always
little
have
a set of bleachers.
Well, here's why that ballpark is great. Number one, because it's a beautiful park. But number two, if you got kids. They got nothing to do but roll down the hill and burn energy, man. They're wiped out by the end of that game.
Freddie told me that the battle for foul balls at St. Patrick looks like World War I.
So you
in
are
the tunnels.
You are familiar with my two,
yes.
My 8-year-old and my 5-year-old, who by the way just went to kindergarten for the first time this morning. He came down to the dugout to inform me. He said, "Dad," I said, "What's up, bud?" You get $1 for foul balls here, and in the fifth inning, $5.
There's one $5 ball. Yeah.
One inning they give $5 for foul balls. My youngest, he's going to be a middle linebacker. He was knocking over everybody.
Did he ever get one?
He got one.
Did he?
He got one.
The dollar ball?
No, he got a $5
one. Oh, really?
Oh, he might have mowed over 6 kids just to get that foul ball, man.
Well, anyway, they pulled it off, and. In fact,
the preacher goes, "Hey, Leland, why don't you take this?" That was like, you know, an old game used bug. Why don't you run that up to the concession stand?
Did he try it?
He did try it, but that was shot down.
They probably had
the stitching's worn out on this ball.
My old man, I remember one of his great promotions was no mosquitoes at the Fulda ballpark.
Sure.
This was 1956. They tried to play pay baseball again.
Yep.
They tried. They kind of bowed out of that in 1952 or 1953, and then went back into the Western Mini in 1956, Springfield, New Orleans,
sure,
Marshall,
sure.
all those. And that was about the end of pay baseball, too, because TV basically put an end to
sure.
pay baseball. But the Western Mini was a Class A league, and New Orleans and Springfield had high-priced talent. And Jack McCartan, the Olympic goalie, was the old man's third baseman. He was a All-American baseball player at the U2, a third baseman, and they had 3-4 other guys, but the attendance wasn't what it used to be, you know. So he one night advertised free 25 cents anyone who can bring him a live mosquito. You know, because no mosquitoes at the ballpark. It's been sprayed. They were all over the place. There were thousands of them. All these kids were bringing in mosquitoes, and he'd look and put it between his thumb and thumbing index finger and squishing. See, that's not a live mosquito.
Well, yeah, that one's dead.
These kids, your dad's a cheater, I said. You're just finding that out now.
Right. You know, this is news to you?
Yes, right. You've never dealt with him, obviously. Yeah, that's what you. Whoosh, he was squishing them, and they were mad at me. Everybody's mad at me. They want to beat me up because the old man wouldn't give them their, you know, a quarter was money back then.
Yeah. So, anyway. But look at that run that Fairmont had, Pat. They beat St. Patrick, who I thought was the best team in the DRS this year, even though they didn't win the region. New Prague ended up winning it. They beat them. They knocked off Jordan. They beat Buffalo, who was really good this year, and Cold Spring. And I'm forgetting
the Rockies
another,
in the semis, right?
Yeah, and I'm forgetting who they played in their first game.
They got three Beckers though, oof, including Luke, who was the best. Was he the MVP? I presume.
I believe so.
They flew him in. He's playing in a wood bat league in Kentucky. Some college league, right?
Yep, yep.
No, he was already a pro, so he got reinstated somehow.
And
right?
You know who the leadoff hitter on that team is, don't you? Not Fairmont, the minor league team he was playing for. Ben Revere.
Really?
Yeah, he was playing with Ben Revere.
So somehow he was eligible, though, because what
so the rule this year was, because of the unusual circumstances, if you were on the playoff roster of your same team last year, you didn't need to play in the four games that you normally would this year.
I think he did play, though. He was playing early this season, and then that thing, and it became kind of a camp for, it became a little league for players who didn't have minor league teams to play in, right?
Yes.
I think that was it.
Yeah.
So, but they flew him in from Kentucky, I heard, and they had a... And they flew him in for the weekend, and he got to the airport, and he wasn't impressed with the prop plane that was going to fly him to Springfield or wherever. So he drove it, I guess, and made the game. So,
yeah.
But he might be a little too good for that league.
Yeah. Well, they had, and I mean, not to make excuses for St. Patrick, but they were just out of pitching. Their number one starter had unfortunately caught COVID, and he wasn't eligible because he's down at Mankato. And so they were just trying to piece together pitching as best they could. And they had my guy, 41-year-old Billy Dunker, on the mound. And Billy said, I kept throwing it, and they kept hitting it.
Did they play nine?
No, they played eight.
Yeah.
Was it seven or eight innings? They did not play a full nine.
The score didn't. It was like 12-0 in the fifth.
12 rep. Yeah.
Anyway, your state champs, Minnetonka, 15 titles since 97. Chanhassen, three in a row. And Fairmont, this was their third, one in 1959 and one in 1930.
Woof, done.
This is their third one. They got a great nickname, though, the Martins.
Yes.
They're named after that little bird, little barnyard bird.
Yes.
Not the, they've been the Martins forever. They were a hotshot team in the pay leagues down there back in when I was a kid.
So yeah.
Fairmont always had a lot of good baseball.
And you'll love it, too, because in the program, in fact, I have it sitting over here. In the program, they'll list, you know, the teams and all their state tournament appearances. And Krieger yesterday was getting a little guff, the Green Isle run. He said, not a lot of B mentioned in here, Joe. So it was telling him. He said, no, we always play by the rules. You know, but it's great.
Well, he's ran into serious competition. He invented the Minnetonka. Minnetonka pipeline, but it's been dipped into by the Chans and others, right?
Well, and not to mention Plato. I mean, those two teams, you know, they both went with a complete youth movement this year. Both Green Isle and Plato did, where they were playing. I remember Green Isle had a kid. I think Joe told me that was 17. Well, St. Patrick yesterday had a 16-year-old kid and playing right field for him.
Lakeville
kid.
I basically went to Shakopee on Saturday to see the great Joe Driscoll.
Yes, sir.
Who, you know, recovering from the stroke he had last year and last summer of 19. And he drove himself and he's doing okay.
Good.
But you kind of got to remind him of the great stories and then
he'll get going.
And of course, he showed up and there were like five agitators there, and they started telling Joe stories that were there's an endless supply of them. And then he just said, when he was in Red Wing, playing in Red Wing for a couple of years, and he basically would sleep in his van, But they would give his home telephone number as the ballpark, the phone, the payphone at the ballpark. There was another Joe story. Because, you know, he started as a kid at Le Sueur and played there as a high school kid. And then ended up three-sport athlete at Southwest State. You know,
wow.
Quarterback in football, great basketball player, best baseball player, hell of a hitter and pitcher. But not an academia was not his.
He majored in baseball.
He ended up at some GAC after that. Okay. And then he ended up with those Arlington teams that were 79 Arlington. He was the MVP when they had Arlington had two different runs of dominance, mm-hmm. you know.
Did he have a stint with Dundas too, Driscoll?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think maybe he was only drafted by Dundas.
Okay.
I was thinking it was that Billy Nelson's, the guy that was, when he, somebody asked him where his official address was, and he said the treehouse at his house. He built one for his kids. But it wasn't Joe. It was another guy. I can't remember who it was.
Okay.
But, now that they got the laser, man.
Oh.
Now that they got the laser, they could just figure out how far away you are. The fudging the line doesn't work anymore.
I told you the great Newmarket story from last year. They had the kid. Oh, I can't remember his name. Great pitcher. Probably one of their best players. And they were still Class C last year in 2019. Yeah. And we were at their, they slaughtered us at their park. Mm-hmm. And there was a tent outside of the cemetery that's right by their ballpark. And I said, oh, what's that? He goes, oh, that's Tony's house. You know, kid from Arizona that came to town.
Oh, yeah.
There's a tent sitting up there.
Yeah, right. I tell you, though, it's amazing, Tom, all the stories.
Oh, it's great.
The best one I ever had was the kid from Dundas, who was the MVP one year, who was a Dundas, had mm-hmm. played there. But then he got a job in California. Executive job in Wells Fargo or something, Good job. He'd work his ass off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, catch the red eye, and then Sunday night, catch the last, or early Monday morning, because you're gaining time.
Yep.
Catch the flight back to, he'd come in on the red eye Thursday night, and if they had two games in a weekend or a tournament, he'd play. I think he missed like one weekend. He'd fly in because he had a, he was making money, so he was okay. And I can't remember what his name was. I did a column on him, but he ended up being the MVP. But flew in on weekends from L.A. to play for the Dukes.
That is dedication right there.
And that's why the baseball board did everything it could to make sure we had a season. Because you could have been like Legion Ball or somebody else and pulled the plug early, but the players wouldn't allow it. So the players and the organizers and the groundskeepers and the fans who go to ball game, the 120 fans that go to a ball game at St. Patrick every Sunday.
Absolutely.
And people like that, they wouldn't allow it to happen. We should offer an accolade for Michael Pineda.
Yes.
He has given enough life to this rotation that you can now see them doing something in the postseason.
You think he can take down a lineup?
I think he can for six. Okay. You got to get Trevor May and Duffy.
What is going on with May?
Oof. May's been bad, and Duffy's been not invincible like he was
early.
And Taylor Rogers yesterday, really good, though.
Yeah.
The bites back on the slider. So,
because I was driving home, I was only able to listen to him on the radio.
Back on his slider, so he's throwing good again. I mean, that happens. But Pineda, all of a sudden, you got Maeda is good, and you got a chance with Barrios.
Sure.
And Pineda's been really good, and Dobnik's now your four starter instead of your ace, instead of your second behind Maeda. And Odorizzi someday might recover from that bullet he got hit by. So
what is he coming back?
I don't know. He's got a big bruise on his chest still, I guess. I don't know.
Wow.
What a year he's had. He takes their money rather than hitting the free agent market, and then people just start giving away millions. He would have gotten 4 years, $60 million from somebody. He took the 17, figured he'd have another good year. Hurt at the start of this year, pitched three times, Then he got hit with a rock. The guy's gonna get an $8 million contract from somebody for a year next year. That's
he's gonna get the Homer Bailey contract.
Yeah,
don't you think?
He's really good. Yeah, he's gonna get the Homer Bailey. Yeah, we still got Homer. We don't talk about Homer anymore.
No, well, we did last week because you had mentioned.
No, I mean we don't. I mean the Twins.
We don't even mention.
We don't look at it. How's Homer progressing? No, it's it's apparently a terminal illness.
Do you think that money they set on fire is still burning?
Yes,
you think
that they could be. It could have been a nice weenie roast, that's for sure. All right. Well, that's the bay. We gave you a lot of town ball, but it's a very it's been a very eventful year for town ball, and congratulations to Shakopee and Springfield and Milroy for helping the Minnesota Baseball Association pull it off.
Absolutely.
All right. And this lively conversation has been brought to you by the great Josh Arnold.
Mr. Money Talk.
Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. I bet you don't know what's in your mutual fund or ETF. If you can't take my bet, then you better call my friend, Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold, to find out. Why? Because Josh frequently sees a common mistake with new clients in that they are allocated as high as 50% in impaired stocks. Now, you may be asking, what the heck is an impaired stock? I have no idea, so that is why I work with Josh. Call Josh for your no-cost, no-obligation, 48-minute consultation to find out how to get the garbage out of your 401k or IRA. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. Just ask for Mr. Money Talk at 952-925-5608.